pray, I go to church, but God seems to be so far away, and nothing happens to me, and I don't see change. I don't see anything that making a difference in my life. And many of us experience that a lot of times. We do the practices, pray, go to church, read the Bible, but nothing really happens. And the most important part, which we're supposed to get in our worship, in our relationship with God, is the joy. And we find this joy is still missing. So there is something big that's missing from the life. What is it? Why we don't experience that joy? Especially when I do everything that I'm supposed to do. When you practice everything in religion, you become a religious person. As a matter of fact, all of us here in the church are religious people. Not only us, but just across the street from us, there's a Sikh temple. They're religious people. They're worshiping today. Last Friday, we had people in Shirley Gates Mosque. These are religious people. They're worshiping too. We're all religious. We share the same thing. But are we all spiritual? Are we all experiencing God? That is the real question. And we get asked this question. You pray, I pray. What is the difference? It's very, very, very important. A religious person is different than from a spiritual person. A religious person can do all the practices, but not necessarily experience God, see God, rejoice in Him, desire Him, delight himself in the Lord. Not necessarily. Religion doesn't give that. But the spirituality does. Spirituality gives the real joy in the life. It comes from true relationship. I want to even say friendship with the Almighty. Friendship with the Almighty. During the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were very, very religious people. They were called Pharisees. They were more religious than me and you. They knew more than me and you. But they never experienced God. And God didn't like their worship. God didn't like their prayer. Jesus was never happy of what they did. Even though they did pray, they did know the Bible. But God didn't like anything they did. Why? God delighted more in a short, simple prayer of a tax collector and a sinner much more than the prayer of a Pharisee. He actually said that to the Samaritan woman. He told her, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Yes, in truth, worship the one God, but in spirit, must have life in it. Can't be just dead rituals and dead religion. Must have life, must have spirit, or else I don't want it. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. God doesn't want us to be religious, but he wants us to be spiritual. To have life in us. To have life in our relationship with Him. What is the difference between a religious person and a spiritual person? Experience. Experience. Have we experienced God or not? Do we experience God on a regular basis? Experience His presence? That when I pray, I really come to His presence. I feel like I'm standing in the presence of God. And a true relationship and friendship with the Almighty. Is this what we experience or not? is the difference between knowing about God and really knowing Him as a person. We all know about God. I want to tell you something. If you send someone to the bookstore, Christian bookstore, and tell him, get the Bible, and get the commentaries, and read all of them, what is he going to be in the end? A spiritual person? If you read, and spend all your life reading the Bible and the commentaries, which is a great thing, are you going to be a saint? Are you going to be like Ambab Shoy, who used to see Christ in his prayer? No. You're going to be a scholar. You're going to have a big brain, swollen brain, okay? But that doesn't mean you're going to be a spiritual person. That's why when people go, make a wrong decision, and take a religion class at school, the worst thing you can ever do. After the religion class, say, what did I do to myself? I was much better off. Even though the professor is a good person, and he has knowledge, but he doesn't have the experience. He doesn't have the experience, doesn't have the contacts, the relationship. Not necessarily he has seen God, as we said. Saint Macarius said something very nice. He said, Christians must continuously experience the presence of God in their hearts. Not only here, but here. Christians must continuously experience God in their hearts. That in prayer I can tell that I am in His presence. I almost can touch Him. No one can ever know God. God is infinite. God is unlimited. Who can know God? Who can put God in his brain? But I can experience Him in my heart. You can learn about the resurrection. Jesus rose from the dead. You can learn about faith. You can learn the creed. But do you really know it? Can you tell someone from the bottom of your heart what is the meaning of resurrection and how can it make a difference in someone's life? That is the difference. That is called the experience. When Andrew, one of the 12 apostles, when he found Christ, he went to his brother Peter and he told him, we have found the Messiah. He said, tell me. I said, tell you what? I can tell you. Come and see. Came the famous word, come and see. You experience yourself. I can tell you. How can I tell you about the Almighty? Tell God, explain God, put God in words? Can I put God in words? Can I put God in expressions? No way. No one can ever tell you what it means. But you have to experience it yourself. Experience Him. Experience His works, His miracles, His feasts. Like today, what does it mean, the Feast of Pentecost, for you? What does God have for you in such a particular feast? I can teach you as much as I can, but that's very limited. But I can invite you to really experience Him. How do we experience God? We have the best gift today of the Holy Spirit that gives us limited people who have eyes who cannot see God by our eyes, but in our hearts we can definitely see Him. That is the gift of the Holy Spirit. God promised us that the Holy Spirit will be in us to bring us all God's blessings and to bring us all God's messages and to bring us all God's anything that God, all the blessings of God is transformed us through the Holy Spirit. And as much as I'm full of the Spirit as much I can really experience God. The 12 apostles lived with the Lord Jesus Christ, saw him face to face, saw his miracles. They themselves did miracles. Did they really know him? They didn't. They denied, they fled away. But when the Holy Spirit came upon them on the day of Pentecost, like today, they became different people. We've never heard a sermon for St. Peter, not even two words before Pentecost. But when he experienced heaven and God, everything that Jesus said in 3.5 years didn't get in. Or maybe it was here, but it was never there. When the Holy Spirit came, exactly as Jesus said, he will take what is mine and give to you. He will remind you of everything I have said to you. He will put my words in you. He will put my love in you. He will give you life. He will fill you with fire. When he came, the Holy Spirit came upon them, they became different people. And Peter spoke. All of them spoke. They went all over the world. Why? They had the experience, the touch of God, the presence of God in them. Jesus said that, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, only in his name, he will teach you all things. You could read 10 books about Trinity, and good luck if you keep one of them. But he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I have said to you. And much, much, much better, he's going to give you peace. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Best blessing and gift of the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit. Love, peace, joy. Or love, joy, peace. How do we get this? From reading books? From practices? No, but from experience, from being in touch, getting in touch with the Almighty, by being blessed by the Holy Spirit, being filled with that Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God Himself in us, speaking to us and teaching us. And only then we can be witnesses to Him. Only then I can tell people about him. It's amazing. We can see people in the church for 20 years. Never, ever, ever told a single person anything about the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because they don't know. They don't really know him. But once they experience him, once they are full of that Holy Spirit, all of a sudden they're so excited about God. All of a sudden there is life in them. It's not a religion anymore, but a spirituality. Can't keep it, can't contain it. We can spend every single Sunday telling you, go and tell people about Jesus. Useless. Unless the Holy Spirit come, and we will automatically find ourselves full of joy, full of fire. He came like fire. Full of that fire, we go ready. Why? Because I know him. St. Paul used this word so many times. And we know that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. Romans 8:28. How did you know? I know it. I know him. I experience him. For I know there is nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. How do you know? I know it. I know it in my heart. If the whole world come and say that he is not there, I'm going to tell them no. I know he's there. Why? Because I did experience him. I did see him. That's the meaning of witness. Witness is not a teacher to teach people about Christ, but witness to tell people about what he saw, what he touched. Christians must continuously experience the presence of God. live in His presence, enjoy His presence, experience the joy that's only in His presence, not anywhere else. The joy doesn't come from reading the Bible, but from receiving the Holy Spirit, which are in these words. These are not words. He said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Spirit and life, they have life. They're not dead words. It's not dead religion. It's not dead tradition, but it is a living God and the Spirit. How did the apostles receive the Spirit? They did something very important that a lot of times we fail to do. Before Jesus ascended to heaven, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. The Holy Spirit is called the promise of the Father. He promised them. He said, I'm going to go, but I promise you, I'm going to send you the best gift ever. It's too good to be true. That's why it's called the promise. But wait for the promise of the Father, which He had said, you have heard from me. He told them to wait. He ascended. 10 days later, they were waiting every single day in prayer and in waiting for something to happen. We're waiting for you, Lord. They were waiting until the Holy Spirit came upon them. We know how to pray, but we don't know how to wait in prayer. Wait in prayer, meaning, what is the easiest thing to do when I'm distracted in prayer? Just finish it off. Just let me get done with that because it's not going anywhere and it's useless. Wrong. What do I do? Wait. He promised. He said, it is the promise of the Father. I love this word. He promised us. Because we can never do anything without His Holy Spirit. Without Him, we can do nothing. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Can't do anything without Him. So we gotta wait. Who waits in prayer? No one. We're all impatient, and I'm the first one. Especially when it comes to spiritual life and prayer. Who can wait and never move and never close prayer until he receives the promise of the Father? Quiet time. Easiest thing. Read the passage. Didn't understand. Close the Bible. Bye. Let me start off the day. Wrong. What do I do? Wait for the promise of the Father. Wait, I'm not leaving until you bless me, until you send me your Holy Spirit. Wait for the promise of the Father. So many times, I advise people to go for a personal retreat. Just go by themselves, spend a day with God. In the beginning, they say, we were bored to death. We don't know what to do. Did the prayer, read the Bible, the quiet time, all of this. Nothing is happening. What do we do? Just wait. We don't know how to be silent. Or what we call it, solitude. We know how to be lonely, but not necessarily don't know how to be in solitude. Solitude, it doesn't mean lonely me by myself, but me and Him, and experience Him, and listen to Him. If you are missing life, in your relationship with God, maybe you need this experience. If you are missing the passion and the fire, maybe you need more, big dosage of that Holy Spirit. You need to wait on them. Let me conclude with a story to explain what I'm trying to say. A person who is getting his radiation therapy, treating cancer. He went to the first visit or the first session, put him on a table, put the radiation machine, all of these stuff, half an hour, him by himself. Everybody, of course, escaped from this radiant room. And then he, by himself for half an hour, he was bored to death. And the thoughts, things coming back and forth. Second time, he was going, dreading this half an hour by himself. In that room, under this machine. And then he decided, why don't I pray? Then he discovered that he doesn't memorize anything, so he couldn't pray. He said, maybe I can say something from the Bible. I don't know anything in the Bible. I don't memorize anything. How about if I just talk to God? And he started just talking to God. And then he experienced God in that half hour. Like never before. Like never in any prayer. Following sessions, he was looking forward to the therapy. Because it's not time with a machine, but it's a time with the Almighty. He would come out of the room radiant. Not with radiation, but with God. It was able to lift him up and lift his spirit. The sign is the joy. No one can enter into God's presence without getting out full of that joy. I invite you not to pray the liturgy, not to listen to the liturgy, not to look at the screen up there, even though it's nice, but I invite you to really experience him in every practice. So it's not a religion anymore. God didn't come to give us religion, but came to give us his spirit, that we are full of that spirit. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.
We believe in one God, God the Father, the Pontificator Creator, who created heaven and earth and all things seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, for all ages, light of light, true God, begotten, not created, of one essence with the Father, by whom all things are made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, was incarnated of the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and became man. He was crucified for us in Pontius Pilate, suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose from the dead, according to the Scriptures. He ascended into the heavens. He sits at the right hand of his Father. He is coming again in his glory to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. Yes, we believe in the Holy Spirit, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and Son is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets, and in one holy Catholic apostolic church, we confess on baptism for the remission of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead, life of coming age. Amen. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the coming.
Fathers and brothers, forgive me, I've sinned. Shlim.
Epi posam gestas. Ireni pa.